broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 11th. In the year of our Lord, 2020, this is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. And yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of work to do. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And we use the Constitution as our guide. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. It's a faith-filled, freedom-loving Friday, I might add. And as you know, it's 9-11. Isn't that interesting? 9-11, and it's Friday. Glad it's not Friday the 13th, anyway. And let's just talk about yesterday's broadcast really quick. Available on demand at lovingliberty.net. That's lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. And we talked to Brian Russ, RussQuinnAgift.com, about honest money. Gold was at $19.56, 80 cents. Silver, $27.40. And we talked about this. Would you invest in air, water, and food futures? Yeah, we talked about how dishonest money is just a disaster, and investing in gold and silver futures is not a wise idea either. Hey, the good sheriff's with us, Sheriff Richard Mack. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you, Sam. It's great to be with you this beautiful Friday morning.
Hey, would you invest in air, water, and food futures, sir?
Air, water, and food?
Yeah, futures.
Yeah, I think so.
Think about the futures.
Yeah.
So when you need air and you say, I want to take delivery of that sucker because you're running out of air, you think they'll deliver in time?
Yeah, I don't invest in much, little silver here and there. But we all need air, we all need water, we all need food, and I think that'd be...
Yeah, but if you invest in the futures, it's all on paper, and if everybody needs it all at once, you'll never get delivery. So that was kind of the idea. We're making a point here about gold and silver. Is, hey, you got to take delivery of that stuff, folks, or you may never get it. And, you know, air's the most important thing you need. Water, second. Food's probably third, right?
Exactly.
And so we kind of thought, you know, hey, if you had futures, you know, you could invest and get super rich, but if you ever had to take delivery, it would be kind of curtains before you ever got it, right?
Yeah. Sounds logical.
It's just kind of an interesting... I don't know what you say, twist maybe, on the reality that we face in fake money, right?
Right.
I find it kind of interesting how people don't really understand. You got to take possession of these commodities because futures sound great on paper, but man, it can be trouble for sure. We also talked about options, futures. Do you know what the difference is, Sheriff?
No.
Most folks don't either. Options are you have an option during the whole contract period to kind of cash in. Futures have a certain kind of pay date, if you will, that you got to take delivery by or whatever else, or exercise either taking it or making different arrangements before the date comes up. But they're both based on kind of paper trading, not based on real asset-based delivery. And what we've created is a futures crisis in America, whether it's gold or silver or whatever it be. And that's why the paper stuff is doing well right now. We act like the dollar's really strong, paper's really strong. It's only because we have this futures game, this con game, this options game going on. But if everybody exercised their options for their delivery of gold and silver right now, it'd be an absolute meltdown. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live with Brian Rust. Hour two, we had our guest on, Andy Mangione, vice president with the Association of Mature American Citizens, the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC.us. And we talked about President Trump explained why he held back information about the COVID-19 threat. Did he have good reasons? And Sheriff, I want you to respond to that. You know, a lot of people are criticizing President Trump saying he lied. He knew that the pandemic was a disaster. He lied anyway, told you it was no big deal when he knew full well it was serious. He told Woodward that, and there's a big fiasco about it. Everybody's really critical, from saying President Trump knew and was dishonest to he lied to. But I say it differently. President Trump explained why he held back information about the threat of COVID-19. Did he have good reasons? And I actually agree with his reasons. We didn't know enough back then. He might have known it was a serious threat and downplayed it to some degree. But as a president, do you incite panic or do you kind of calm things down and say, hey, wait a minute, let's get a grip on this? And when is downplaying something legitimately a wise, careful, prudent move versus when is it a big old lie? And we discussed that yesterday. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I've seen all of this back and forth on the news. When they first said, listen to Trump lying about the pandemic, I went, oh, well, you know, this is going to be a time where they really got the president here. It was no more a gotcha moment than fly to the moon.
I don't think that there's legitimacy here at all, though. If I'm the president and I don't know much about something, I'm not going to run around and go, this is horrible, we're all going to die, get in your house, put a quarantine sign on your front door. I'm going to be, hey, this is not as big of a deal as everybody's thinking. We'll get a handle on this. We'll get through this. Don't worry. We do need to take precautions. I'm going to stop flights from China. This is serious. I think the president walked a very fine line, and believe it or not, I think he did a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, he was never dictatorial at any time.
That
no
is correct.
No matter how serious it seemed to be.
But he did use his power to stop flights from China and do some prudent things. So,
yeah.
In my opinion, it doesn't matter what he does. He can never win with these people.
Oh, no.
If he would have not stopped the flights, they would have said, see, they're already saying he didn't act fast enough. Then
right.
On the other hand, they're saying, well, you should have been more of a dictator. If he had, they'd say he's a dictator. If he hadn't, they'd say, well, he's not taking action fast enough. Now they're saying, well, he didn't alert people of the concern or the threat, even though he knew about the threat. And what do you do if you're president? How do you pitch that to a public? What if you know it's worse? Do you let on? Do you drive the nation into a panic? See, I don't know how you could pitch it differently than he did, while remembering you got to be very careful because you don't want to be the one to make the problem worse. The media and the Democrats are the ones that have made the problem way worse by their panic and hysteria.
Yeah, if you want to compare the honesty between the media and the president.
Believe it or not, even Fauci contradicts the idea, this bombshell that he deceived the American people over it. Even Fauci, of all people, is saying that's not true.
Well, yeah, and so who do you believe here? The Democrats and the media, or the doctor that was assigned to this, you know? And I have to agree with Fauci here. I look at what the president's saying. I see no huge subterfuge on the president's part. If that was his intention, is to keep things calm and not cause a panic, then that's kind of an admirable thing to do, not a lie or deception.
He stopped flights from China. He worked on ventilators. He worked on masks. I mean, he took more action than I probably even would have.
Yeah.
But yet he didn't become a dictator over it. It's kind of interesting when you get Fauci defending him even. But President Trump was also nominated Wednesday for the 2020 Nobel Peace, or 2021, I'm sorry, Nobel Peace Prize. And the nomination was submitted by a Norwegian, I guess it's Norwegian Member of Parliament, Christian Tybring. Jed, I think is how you say it, who also nominated Trump back in 2018, but man, we got foreigners having to stand up for the president now.
Well, you know, the Obama got it right when he got elected.
Yes,
and they
sir.
Even admitted that he hadn't done anything.
Yeah, and now they're saying poor Donald, he has to wait so long to even be considered.
Yeah, and oh my gosh.
But I find that interesting, and I say, you know what, President Trump has done quite a bit for peace. The next headline I have highlights this very well also. Trump keeps promises the U.S. will draw down its troop numbers in Iraq by more than a third over the next month, says the Middle Eastern, I guess he's commander of U.S. Middle Eastern Central Command. I guess Kenneth McKenzie announced this. And so President Trump even bringing troops home to some degree now. Now, you could say we need more, and I agree, but you know what? How many presidents have been doing that in a meaningful way?
Yeah, he's finally getting us out of these endless Middle Eastern wars. And look at how active ISIS used to be, and you hardly hear from them anymore. And so if the president were to receive this peace prize for merely the work he's done against ISIS, you would think would be worthy of such an award. But he's done a lot more than that. And you know what? What do these people really want? He's increased the economy. He's increased employment across the board, especially with minorities. And he's ended wars. Isn't that what the Democrats want?
That's what they say they want, except for if it's Trump, they never want it.
Well, you see, and that's just the thing. The Democrats, and this is absolutely true, they say that Trump's lack of action actually killed thousands of people. I think that's been just the opposite, especially with the economy, how he's helped to everybody.
Yeah, there you have it. I guess three current senators are being considered on Trump's Supreme Court list. I'm waiting for Biden's Supreme Court list. And Republican Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton said, hey, it's time to end Roe versus Wade. Wow, yeah. We're getting somewhere now, baby. Hold on.
Now we're talking.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, so President Trump put three current senators on his Supreme Court pick list, if you will. One of them was Tom Cotton, and moments after the president kind of hinted that Tom Cotton might be a Supreme Court pick coming up, put him on the list anyway, Tom Cotton busts out and says, yeah, it's time for Roe versus Wade to go. Phenomenal. Sheriff?
Well, you know how I feel about that one.
Absolutely, but I want to double down in defense of President Trump and Tom Cotton here. We're working on it.
I will tell you, the whole time I was saying that, I think it was a politically brilliant move.
No doubt. No question.
He's getting support now from people who support them, and Tom Cotton has always been pro-life, and, get rid of that. That would create a huge fight. obviously, with the Democrats, because they're so magnanimous and generous and kind that they really believe that life does not matter, that it's the woman's choice that matters in this particular case. Wouldn't anybody who has the attitude of being magnanimous and kind and generous and protective, that they would actually say, if we were to err on this issue, we would err on the side of protecting precious life.
And after all, isn't that the whole purpose of government, sir?
Yes. The whole backdrop of our American idealism is life, liberty, and property. And so where do we protect life, then, if we don't protect it at its most vulnerable state?
Yeah, those poor babies sure can't pursue happiness, can they?
They can't pursue anything.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. So it's just, it's really, I think, quite alarming how the propaganda and brainwashing has worked so effectively that so many people in this country believe that killing a baby is a freedom issue, is just a personal choice issue, but they never provide personal choice on
anything
else.
And how dare you hate women to stand up for the other side is how they pitch
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
right. Just a dishonest lie. Anyway, good for Tom Cotton, good for President Trump. And again, I've always maintained, right when the Republicans took power, pro-life is the most important issue, bar none, they could take up. Bar none.
Yeah. Amen.
Because everything else trickles down from that issue. If you're not going to protect the babies, hey, don't run around telling me you're protecting me or taking care of business for me. So anyway, I've told the Democrats and the Republicans this is the most important issue, and good for Tom Cotton setting it center stage. I mean, really, really, really important. All right, Sheriff, do you know about the Homeless Veterans Coronavirus Response Act of 2020?
The Homeless Coronavirus Response Act?
The Homeless Veterans Coronavirus Response Act of 2020,
uh-huh. No, I haven't heard of that one yet.
All right, well, they're working on it. It brings much-needed relief to veterans, keeping another promise for the president.
Whoa.
Of course, the mainstream press doesn't want you to hear about it, but I'm just telling you, that's on the docket. People are working on that, too. And we also talked about Back the Blue, Sign the Police Pledge. AMAC has a Back the Blue, Sign the Police Pledge they're linking to. And what do you think of that?
Well, I don't know. The linking of the two, I don't know. That kind of worries me.
So I'm back in the blue. Not that there's not some bad apples in the police forces, but the point is that Joe Biden said that the only person pushing to defund the police big time was Donald Trump.
What?
Yeah, Joe Biden is literally saying President Trump's the one that wants to defund the cops.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Not Joe there now. You want to hear Joe?
I did not know that propaganda scheme.
Well, you want to hear Joe? Listen up.
Sure. I not only don't want to defund the police, I'm the one calling for $300 million more for local police, for community policing. I also think we should add social workers and psychologists to help police on 911 calls. The only person calling to defund the police is Donald Trump. Look at his budget. He calls for cutting police funding for local state and local help by $400 million. Once again, he's pathological.
The guy's off his rocker, man.
Gosh.
Yeah, the only one wanting to defund the cops is old Donald Trump, he says. Now, here's the interesting thing. I bet you if you do go look at his budget, then I bet you there is less money in there for that. But that's not because he wants to defund the cops. It's because he doesn't believe it's the federal government's responsibility to fund all the local police departments. Those are local and state issues. I actually agree with the president on that. But he's been a big advocate of defending the police and saying, yeah, there's some bad apples, and yeah, we need some reform, but let's not throw the whole thing out. President Trump has been very clear to defend the police here. Joe is just completely not even in the discussion points here.
Well, Trump has actually got the endorsement of the largest police union in the country, and they said it was unanimous. That would be really amazing, seeing how there's over 300,000 in that. So Biden's just trying to do damage control on that, I would imagine. Again, making up. And Sam, I've said this on your show. We both have.
Yeah, but is it damage control or is it damage creating? No, it's so off the rails. It's wow.
What it is the culture of lying within American politics. It's just a culture of lying, and it just astonishes me that how acceptable such dishonesty is throughout the entire political realm in America.
Amen to that. Here's the next Confucius either lie or intent. I don't know if it was by mistake. I mean, Joe Biden's mental slips, is Joe Biden fit, or the question. But here's what Joe said. Joe Biden said that more than 6,000 military members have died from the coronavirus. But you want to know what the Department of Defense said?
It was like 60?
No, it's 7.
7, oh, okay, yeah.
So Joe Biden said 6,000, and DOD came out and went, wait a minute, what are you talking about? It's 7. It's just,
I know.
And this guy really is going to debate President Trump?
I know. I'm telling you, that would be the last thing I would have him do. And Nancy Pelosi is absolutely correct. She downplayed it. It's not because he's not capable. Of course he's capable, but they just should not do it. That they should be saying it. He has nothing to gain by it, and he's already had. And why give Trump his audience to even change that? And
well, that's what they're saying. They're saying Trump's not worthy of this. Yeah,
yeah, he's not worthy.
And so it's interesting. I don't know if they'll have a debate or if they'll call it off. What I can see them doing is having a debate. They'll call it to be. They'll say it has to be virtual. What they'll do is they'll have Joe in his good moments, you know, one or two times a day for 10, 15 minutes, record some pre-recorded answers and use a teleprompter and everything else, and they'll make Biden appear a whole lot more elusive than he really is virtually.
Okay,
And it won't be a direct confront in your face in person where you have the, you know, control of the room by your charisma and all that kind of, none of that will be in the mix. And Joe will have some pre-recorded responses to things and use a teleprompter. And all the reality of a debate will be taken out of it, and Joe will look way better than reality. That's my guess. I don't know that I'm right, but they've got to have a debate, or they'll look very foolish. But yet they can't have a real one.
Yeah, I think he would be a lot better off looking foolish for not having it than how foolish he's going to look for actually having it. But yeah, if they go virtual, then they'll have him protected.
They'll have some nice backgrounds, and they'll have some responses to things that he's, you know, done recently, and you know they'll get him in some good moments over the next several days, and pre-recorded Q&As and all that kind of stuff, where he won't look near as buffoonish as he does, and President Trump really won't be able to go after Biden in a meaningful way, and that they'll just say that has to be. I can predict it now. All right, Kurt Cosby's on the road and with us, too. Hi, Kurt.
Buenos dias. How's everybody?
We're doing fantastic, man.
Yeah, good. down in Sheriff Mack's country in Arizona.
Yeah, Kurt Cosby's on the road visiting his grown children.
Yeah. There's a little smoke in Arizona.
Yeah.
Is there
coming over from California?
Is there not smoke in any western state there, gentlemen?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we had a bunch last weekend in Utah, but then the hurricane force winds blew it all out.
There you go. Nothing like hurricane force winds. By the way, Kurt and audience, did you know Richard Mack took a big spill, had a fall? Not fun to talk about, but since others are tweeting and sending out emails about it, I feel like we ought to let the good sheriff respond, shall we? We'll do it in seconds. Kurt Cosby on the road. The good Sheriff Richard Mack and yours truly on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Solemn memorial observances will be held across the nation today on this 19th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Small towns and big cities all taking part. The major observances will be at or near the sites of the attacks, including Lower Manhattan. At the official 9/11 memorial, they'll hold a socially distanced event where the recorded reading of the names of those killed at Ground Zero will be played. A few blocks away, the Tunnels to Towers Foundation founder Stephen Siller says they'll hold an event where they'll read those names out loud.
It would be shame on us if we couldn't figure out a way to read these names in a safe way.
Vice President Mike Pence expected to attend the foundation's observance. President Trump and Joe Biden will be at the memorial in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, to remember those killed when terrorists brought down Flight 93. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, some good news during a challenging time for everybody, and this could really help. You may know hundreds of thousands of people have already made the switch to MediShare, which is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And with so many people looking at how they pay for healthcare right now, seeing premiums going up or the cost of COBRA plans, MediShare has extended their special offer, and a lot of people have taken advantage of it. Simply apply by September 30th, and they will waive your new member fee. That's $170 savings. And of course, that's just a start. The typical family saves $500 a month after making the switch. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and it's worked beautifully for decades. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to get your additional savings. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
More now on remembering 9/11. Shortly after the first attack in Lower Manhattan that day, then-President George W. Bush was alerted while visiting a school, and a short time later, he made his first remarks to a shaken nation about the tragedy.
Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts.
Also on this date in 2012, 8 years ago, terrorist mobs with guns and grenades waged a fiery night-long attack on a U.S. diplomatic outpost in Benghazi, Libya, killing U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans. President Obama spoke to the nation the next day about that.
Make no mistake, we will work with the Libyan government to bring to justice the killers who attacked our people.
Republican senators say they doubt there'll be passage of a stimulus package before the election after a pandemic relief bill failed yesterday. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, Sheriff, you get to tell the story, my friend.
Well, Sam, I was at the Arizona Mills Mall, which is about 15 minutes from my home, just due east on Baseline, basically, yes, and from where I live. And I go walking there, but I had actually done a little shopping also while I was there, and had a little bag, and it just had a couple of light things in it, some more hand sanitizer from Bath & Body Works, and anyway, I was basically still walking quite briskly, and I was just heading out to go home, and I don't know what happened. It was so sudden. It was just, well, I know exactly what happened now, but at the time, it just totally shocked me. All of a sudden, I slipped on something on the floor, and I flew up in the air, and luckily, I mean, way luckily, there was a little rest area where there's some carpeting and some benches, and a few people were standing around right there. And I flew up in the air, and my left leg got underneath me, and I landed on my left side, and then I rolled a couple of times. It felt like I was rolling forever, and it was really scary, and how I landed was really scared me. I really thought I was hurt badly. Thought I was going to have to go in an ambulance. That's my first impression, is that I was really hurt. I just stayed there for a few seconds and this lady was right next to me. She was probably just 5 feet from where I fell, and she had a couple of kids with her, and she was just she only spoke Spanish. She was just being so nice, and here, let me help you. She was saying, "Let me help you," and I said, "No." I said, "Well, I'm going to just stay here for a minute." And so she stood by me. She was just standing there by me, you know, and she understood that maybe I should just collect myself. And I was just kind of analyzing how hurt I was. And so I thought, okay, I'm gonna try to get up now. And it was really difficult getting up. She was helping me get up. And so I just stood there for a minute. I could tell my back was really hurt. My left knee, both of those really hurt. And then finally, a lady from another store said she called security. And so I just stood there and I kind of was still collecting myself. And I was definitely in pain. And so I go, oh, my gosh. You know, finally a security guy came, and right before he came, I started taking pictures of the skid mark that my shoe had left there, and also it looked like somebody dropped some chocolate ice cream on the floor. And, of course, I never saw it. I did have a mask on, which kind of blocks your view a little bit. And as I've always said, I don't keep it over my nose. So I don't know if that blocked my view or what, or I just normally, even without the mask, I would have never seen it. Usually I do look down. I look down when I'm walking more than I look up. And my wife says that's kind of dangerous, and she's probably right. You need to be looking up. Anyway, so I guess I was looking up that time, and my back is still really hurting. If I can sit down, it's okay. But when I sit down and when I get up, it really hurts. My left ankle hurts. My left knee hurts. My left shoulder hurts. And my left lower back really hurts. And so, I've been taking the ibuprofen or whatever, and aspirin or whatever. But I told my wife I really got to get to the chiropractor today or tomorrow, but I really don't have time. We're so busy with the September 30th event, and we're really getting some great sheriffs. We've actually had a couple of sheriffs and one candidate call because they've heard about the event and said they wanted to go. Yesterday, I called Sheriff Jenkins, or I emailed Sheriff Jenkins, and he says, I thought, it's going to be too late notice, but he lives in Maryland, so I thought, and he says, I'm moving my schedule around to get there. That's the kind of response we're getting on this. And of course, I think there's going to be 25, 30 sheriffs just from Virginia that are going to be there. So that's helping my back feel better because it just seems like we're really having success with this major event. I will not miss that no matter what. If they have to drive me out there in the back of a truck or motorhome or whatever, but I will go. Kelly is going to be going with me so he can video the whole thing so he can help me and we can ship stuff out there however we need to, or we can just check everything on the plane. So,
phenomenal event coming up on September the 30th at Liberty University. Sheriffs and legislative people and everything attending for an incredible training, educational opportunity that's coming up. But of course I will not be there. Too many places to be and too many things to do, but the good sheriff did take a big fall. We got a prayer request out for Sheriff Richard Mack. Hope he gets better soon, but he is alive and well, and it hasn't taken away his desire for liberty or his commitment there to one iota. Sometimes they say the flesh is weak, Sheriff.
Yeah, I'm really grateful that nothing was broke. When I went down, I was so shocked, and I felt like I said, I felt like I'm going to need an ambulance, and And the security guard, when he finally got there, he just started cleaning it up. And so I'm glad I took pictures of it all beforehand. Because there was quite a bit of spill from whatever it was, a milkshake or an ice cream cone or whatever. My impression was it was an ice cream cone that some little kid had dropped there. Maybe it was the same little kid that belonged to the lady that was helping me. She just kept saying, "Here, have some water, have some water." And I guess if you feel like you need to try to help somebody, you're always giving them water. But I didn't need water then any more than I needed it before the accident.
Well, maybe it was, if you want to go conspiracy theory, maybe it was Antifa. Maybe they did that on purpose, you know.
Somebody did it, set me up for it, you know. But I was supposed to be at an event. Right now, I'd be flying out today from Montana. Real good people there.
Sheriff Mack, it might have been a setup like Nancy Pelosi had. You know, she
that
had
could
a setup.
Be, yeah.
So that lady owes me an apology. and that's another thing. How stupid and utterly ridiculous can these people get? And I want to say Democrats again, but I don't even want to blame it on Democrats. It's just these people who are, I'm the victim here. I mean, good grief. Can Nancy Pelosi just ever tell the truth?
No, of course not.
Oh, my gosh.
And what I don't understand is, you would think she's black, Sheriff.
I would?
Yeah, with the treatment that she gets.
Oh, yeah.
She's not treated like a white person.
Yeah.
Now, what's up with that?
White privilege just doesn't seem to be there for her. It's just,
Joe Biden seems to be treated like, he's black, too. All right, by the way, the event that the good sheriff is supposed to be at this weekend that because he took a big fall, he's not at, it's called Maskless in Montana. And so I've got a headline that says updates from Maskless in Montana that Elias sent me. Got to give credit where credit's due. But Kurt, what do you think of a Maskless in Montana event the good sheriff was rolling to?
Sorry about that. I pushed the wrong button.
Kind of a cool event,
It reminds me of the old song "Meet Me in Montana," but
song by Marie Osmond.
Yeah, Dan Seals, I think. But anyway, "Meet Me on Montana, Man," maskless in Montana. That sounds like a good time.
So the good sheriff will not be there because he fell, and he is recovering. He is all right, all is well. But do send some prayers, Richard Maxway, if you will. Maskless in Montana, I think, really tells kind of what's going on in America right now, Sheriff.
Yeah, it really does. And I'm telling you, I started thinking about it. What if the police are going to just go arrest everybody for not wearing their mask? And it's a good thing I'm not there, because that's the one time I would have been taken in. Here I didn't have a mask in California at two different events. In California, and in Washington State, where they have these governors that you don't know. So, nope.
All right, Montana. Kurt just sent me a Montana story and a mask story. Which one's first, Kurt?
You pick, Sam.
All right, right after the break, either maskless, Montana, we'll talk about both.
Transport back in time to our nation's founding at the Freedom's Light Festival. Visit with freedom fighters, colonial artisans, music, contests, prizes, over 35 activities for the whole family. Schedule a school field trip and fulfill the federal requirement to teach the Constitution. Can you crack the spy codes used to win the Revolutionary War? Take home a founding document printed on the exact replica Isaiah Thomas used for the first Declaration of Independence. Register and compete in the Constitution Bowl. Join us September 17th through the 19th. Register at freedomslight.us. freedomslight.us. This event is completely free. Now more than ever, we need to ensure Freedom's Light is not extinguished. Let's keep this light shining in the hearts and minds of our children. freedomslight.us. That's freedomslight.us.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Let's be very clear. So the Montana, Maskless in Montana event is still happening. The good sheriff took a big fall and will not be there, though. But our prayers are with the folks in Montana, and our prayers are with a good sheriff. How do you like that? Updates from Maskless in Montana. So there's two stories. Let's talk about the teacher shares clever mask hack video first, Kurt.
Well, yeah, you've got these cool ideas where you can basically put the thing on your face that just kind of covers. It's a plastic piece that goes over your nose and whatever, and then you put the mask over that, and so it gives you that space in between your face and the mask and gives you that, I guess you could say, breathing room. I looked and they're available on a number of places. I didn't see them yet. I didn't look on eBay yet, but they're available at Amazon. And, so I think it's a real good move. So you don't have to have that face mask or the mask touching your face. That thing holds it out from there and gives you that space so you can breathe, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Mask hacks.
Yeah.
If you're in America, you got to do a mask hack. If you just go to Sweden, though, it'll be better, Kurt.
Well, you know, the Sweden folks have figured out, at least as far as I can tell, there's somebody to look at. They've learned what to do, they're improving things. They did a no lockdown, according to WorldNet Daily, they're now among the world's safest from the virus. They say, we see no point in wearing a face mask, not even on public transport. Wow.
Do you want to respond to that, Sheriff? You either go to Montana or Sweden, buddy.
Well, obviously, Sweden and South Dakota have set an example as to how you get people to try to cooperate without force. And that you don't need to force this on anybody, and that the choice was left to the people as to whether or not they wear a mask. That would have been the American way to do it. And look, we literally had only one state that did it out of 50. When people ask me where to move for freedom, I said there's some good sheriffs in South Dakota, and you have a great governor there. Who's been, probably 90% protecting liberty. You have to really take your hat off to Governor Noem of South Dakota, and I would move there for that if it was just the liberty aspect. The weather aspect would be a problem, but still places to move, Idaho, Utah, and maybe a few other spots here and there across the country. But people are now looking and literally calling us almost daily, where can we move for liberty? And the most calls we get about that are California, and it's a real thing. People are literally moving to get away from tyrants.
I'm convinced the best place you could live would be Utah or Idaho. I get that South Dakota's great, and there's a great governor there now. How long she'll be there versus when the next tyrant moves in, time will tell.
Right.
But day in and day out, I believe that Utah and Idaho have the best prospects for liberty. But I wouldn't go to Sweden, even though they're not wearing masks. I commend them for that, but it's not a place that I would go. But if you want to move to Montana, they're working on something pretty interesting. Vote fraud, Kurt.
Vote fraud in Montana.
It really is called True the Vote, Kurt.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. I got you. So True the Vote, the headline reads, True the Vote sues Montana governor for allowing universal mail-in voting. The True the Vote guys seem to be working hard at this whole thing.
What do you think of that, Sheriff? True the Vote suing Montana's governor.
You know, I really worry about that issue, too. I think this election is going to be an absolute fiasco, and maybe that's a sign.
Isn't that the way they want it, Sheriff?
Yes, I absolutely do. So my prediction that Biden's going to win might be tempered with they're not going to know. My first prediction is, I'm going to stick with it, that Biden's going to win. My second one is they're going to want a worse scenario than that. My second one is they're not going to know for weeks, maybe months, who the president is, and it's going to be a real fiasco, and it's going to create more alarm and riots and problems, and it's going to go to court, and it's going to be a long, drawn-out process.
Yeah.
And both sides are going to be accused of stealing the election.
I think that personally, the Republicans who hate Trump have teamed up with the Democrats who hate Trump.
Right.
And I personally believe they don't want to win. One of the things that the swamp loves to do is be the underdog. And I'm convinced what they're doing is they're full well knowing that Trump's going to win. So they're giving into that and saying, fine, let it be. We know it's going to happen. We're going to let Joe Biden kind of make a fool of himself. And the old guard in the Democratic Party and the old guard in the Republican Party are over. And the new guards, one's very conservative and one's very extreme liberal. In other words, the two kind of in the center, Republican and Democrat groups, old guard swamp are going out. Now you've got the extremes, the way more conservative Republican Party and the way more extreme Democratic Party. And so the Democrats want to let Trump win. And what they will do is they will hound. And then when it's all confused and in the courts and delayed and we don't know who the new president is, they'll try to blame that on President Trump and say, see, President Trump, you didn't let the mail system get the support that it needed. You didn't this, you didn't that. And this is your fault. And you're just doing this so that you can stay in office longer. And they'll do everything they can to foment a riot and hatred and confusion and anger and vitriol. And I don't even know what words to continue using for this. But Trump will eventually win. But it'll what's the term? Wound him for the next term. They'll say he's a lame duck. Look at all the problems he's caused. And they'll do their very best to use this to kind of put a box around President Trump and try to make sure that he can't get much done the next term. They love to be in that position. What do you think of that, Kurt? What do you think?
Well, as I've always said, I'm going to go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce with me. I'm saying that the president wins, at least 48 states out of the 50, and you got all these silent Trump voters, the ones that don't want to get beat up if they wear a Make America Great Again hat, the ones that want to support the police. They don't want criminals burning up their police cars or their police stations. They don't want criminals burning up their neighborhood, and they come out to vote, and they just vote in massive amounts, more than we've ever seen. And even though the Democrats are doing the best they can to, get out as many, vote harvesting and all that stuff, they're just such a massive amount of people that are, finally getting interested and I guess you could say concerned.
And like you're saying even the landslide will be so big, even their vote fraud plans won't work.
That's what I hope for. And then at the same time, just before the election, the president says, hey, we found out we're going to get rid of the Federal Reserve and the IRS. And let's see, I'm trying to figure out.
Cosby just turned into the man of the moon, Sheriff.
Well, I mean, you know, we might as well shoot for the stars, you know, the moon or whatever.
Heard that. Hey, Sheriff, did you know Kirk Cosby's got a year supply of tartar sauce now?
A year supply of what?
Tartar sauce.
Tartar. I thought if you were going to say honey, I'd say, yeah, that stands to reason.
Well, that's true, too. But he's going after Moby Dick with the tartar sauce. So he's got to have a year supply of tartar sauce, because if that should run short because of the COVID, he'd be ready. You know what I'm talking about?
Good point.
All right. Dateline Ohio. There's a teen Kurt wants to tell you about. Kurt?
Very good. The headline from Breitbart says, teen who fed Columbus officers working protests delivers meals to Cleveland police. And this, at least based on the picture I saw, was a young black man, Sam. And so you'd think a story like this, of course, you know, it would really bring America together and show people what to do. And they'd want to highlight it if they were really about making
the only way it'll make news is if the teen shoots somebody.
That's exactly right. Or he gets shot.
If you go ahead and feed the cops, you know, then somehow you're like a bad guy, you know. I think it's a great idea and a great thing to do, and I'm grateful that he did it. And I hope for more kindness and love spreading across the greatest country on the face of the earth. Two other stories before the end of the hour we want to get your comments on, Sheriff. First one says Donald Trump tells North Carolina rally the border toll will fund the border wall, Sheriff.
The border toll? T-O-L-L?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. Make people crossing pay for it.
Yeah, so maybe the Mexicans are going to pay for it after all, huh, Kurt?
Well, that was one of the cool things about the story. That and, of course, all the tariffs and all the control of the drugs and, you know, less havoc on America. I think you could make an argument that Mexico will pay for the border wall.
Well, I think that is the point, and, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. That's good news, in my opinion. I guess a few women getting out of control. I guess they stole a MAGA hat, Make America Great Again hat, from a 7-year-old kid, Kurt.
Well, this kind of goes to that thing we were just talking about who's going to win and all that. You know, if you got a little kid that's trying to wear his hat, and you got these ladies that are stealing it off him. I mean, when have we seen that kind of out of control stuff, you know?
You would think the women had helped the little kid if his hat fell off to help him put it back on or something. I mean, come on, what have we come to in America, Sheriff?
Yeah, you know, I've often thought that every time I see somebody wearing one. I said, well, he's wearing that at a ball. Is he trying to get beat up or something? It's so ridiculous that the violence and hate have gotten so far that it's almost justified. As long as you're doing something against Trump, everything's fine. Isn't that what the national press have said? They've said it. They said that kid that was that spoke at the RNC, the 17, 18-year-old kid that won the lawsuit because they
said that's the kid where he got in this tuffle and they acted like he was a Catholic kid. He caused all the problems, and
yeah,
it turned out it was a false narrative entirely. And the
videos
proved it.
It's okay if you punch him in the face. It's okay if you know he deserves it. Everybody deserves it if you support Trump. And this is absolute nonsense, and it's unforgivable, and it's shameful what they have done. And that, let's go attack a 7-year-old kid with a MAGA hat.
All right. The interesting thing is, though, they call it charged with a hate crime. I got a little bit of concern about the hate crime part of it. I don't think it was a love crime, that's for sure. But I'm a little concerned when they add that little word on there because it changes everything. It just launches it into the stratosphere. But what a sad tale to tell when America's so divided that a little 7-year-old wearing a Make America Great Again hat, supporting the 7-year-old supporting our president, and women just literally abuse this kid over it. I'm telling you, we've got to take a step back and have peace in our country, folks. It starts with you and me. God save the Republic. Thank you, Sheriff. Our prayers are with you, brother.
Thank you.